taken from the soundtrack of the brilliant Ricky Gervais series on Netflix, Afterlife. The second series is now up and running, but I haven't managed to watch any of it yet. That's the problem when you have children around. There's loads of films I want to see and I can't watch them because Sprog's about.
Oh, I thought you had it all under control. Sounded like you were in charge.
Me? Sure. In charge of anything. Now, good news for those of us who are looking a little feral after 7 weeks of lockdown. French hairdressers can reopen after May the 11th, but only under strict conditions.
Yeah.
You're looking all right.
Or just all right. Thank you. No, thank you very much.
Yeah.
So are you. No, you looks nice long.
No.
It does.
No, I can't abide it. It's just too hot in the summer. Phase one of lifting lockdown on the 11th of May. Among the workplaces that are allowed to reopen are hairdressers. The government's directive is that businesses can reopen, but they must put in place all measures possible to ensure that social distancing and hygiene gestures are respected.
It's going to be a bit of a feat. I know.
In order to preserve social distancing and keeping both staff and clients safe, the system for getting a trim will be rather different from normal. May the 11th is a week today, so many salons will be closed. Hairdresser Frank Prevost, president of the hairdressers' organisation Conseil National des Entreprises de Coiffure, suggested many salons will use the next few days to train their staff in the new rules. How about getting a sort of a pair of scissors on a stick?
Well, it might come to that. I know in Monaco it's already the case, isn't it, as of today?
Yes.
They're open, but I think it's on appointment only, so maybe they'll do it that way.
He said, we have to train the staff to disinfect the equipment, which we were already doing in any place. All this has to be prepared and organised. Hopefully we should be good for the 11th. It's common for hairdressers in France to operate sans rendezvous or on a walk-in basis. But when a recent survey showed that 59% of French people wants to visit a salon after lockdown ends, there could be something of a rush.
It's going to be heaving, I think, yeah.
To keep crowds to a minimum, hairdressers will only accept people who have booked in advance, either online or on the phone. The hairdresser or barber must wear a mask, but they will also be compulsory for customers, and you must bring your own. Hairdressers will not be in a position to distribute masks. How would you like it then, sir? Cut it all
there
off.
There may be a few tears.
Yeah, and beauty salons open again in Monaco, aren't they?
Yes, yeah. Beauty salons and hairdressers. But as I say, I think it's going to be on appointment only. Don't talk about my hair. I had a bit of a moment.
Did you? Can't say I noticed.
Okay, well, there you go.
Henk Potts is back this morning talking about beauty salons. 8:18, the Full English Breakfast Show with Air France. I think our transmission problems are coming to an end. Somebody's twiddling around in the background. I can hear them. It's all happening this morning,
isn't
it?
It's all going off this morning,
yes. Air conditions like the tropics in here today. Our transmission keeps cutting in and out, but that does seem to be improving rapidly. It's still doing it a bit, but we do have somebody working on it. So thanks for staying patient. The Full English Breakfast Show.
And now Radio 4 will explode.
Oh, dear. The radio's exploded.
Oh. Well, what's on the television then?
Looks like a penguin.
Now, I didn't mean what was on the TV set. I meant what programme.
Oh, well, I'll switch it on.
Tall and tender and young and lovely. Now go home and
it's odd that penguin being there, isn't it? What's it doing there?
Standing.
I can see that.
If it laid an egg, it will fall down the back of the television set.
We'll have to watch that. Unless it's a male.
I hadn't thought of that.
It looks fairly butch.
Perhaps it's from next door.
Next door? Penguins don't come from next door. They come from the Antarctic.
Burma!
Why did you say Burma?
I panicked.
Perhaps it's from the zoo.
Which zoo?
How should I know which zoo? I'm not Dr. Bloody Bronowski.
How would Dr. Bronowski know which zoo it was from?
He knows everything.
Oh, I wouldn't like that. That would take all the mystery out of life. Anyway, if it was from the zoo, it'd have property of the zoo stamped on it.
No, it wouldn't. They don't stamp animals property of the zoo. You can't stamp a huge lion.
They stamp them when they're small.
What happens when they molt?
Lions don't molt.
No, but penguins do. There, I run rings round you logically.
Oh, intercourse the penguin.
Hello. Well, it's just after 8 o'clock and time for the penguin on top of your television set to explode.
How did he know that was going to happen?
It was an inspired guess.
Yeah, surreal comedy for surreal times.
Today's quiz, question number one. On this day in 1974, ABBA were at number one in the UK chart with which single?
Waterloo.
Correct. And you get an extra point if you can tell me what the song was first called.
Scrambled Eggs. No, that was, yes. I know this, but I can't remember.
Honey Pie.
Honey Pie.
Question number two. Formed on this day in 1964, the band were originally called the M&B5, named after a brewery in Birmingham called Mitchell & Butler, which sponsored the band. What did they go on to become known as?
The Move?
No.
Led Zeppelin? No. Birmingham. We bonjour.
Maybe Dominique knows.
We've got the door open today because it's so hot in here. It's a sort of Birmingham band.
Birmingham band, yeah. 1964 on this day they formed.
Oh, no, God, you'd have to
in
tell
actual
me.
Fact, the M&B, which stands for Mitchell and Butler,
yes,
are the same initials for what they were eventually known as.
M&B. Moody Blues.
Correct. Got there in the end.
Sorry, Justin. I should have got that, shouldn't I, really?
And finally, on this day in 1968, Mary Hopkin won her heat on the ITV talent show Opportunity Knocks.
Those were the days, my friends.
Yes, produced by...
Paul McCartney.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well done.
It's funny, because it's on the radio the other day.
Funny
not,
that.
Not this radio, another radio. Oh. I woke up to it, actually.
Is there another radio?
It was Radio 4, bizarrely enough.
You're not listening to Radio 4 at night and falling asleep.
Well,
you
I am,
are,
afraid,
aren't you?
Yeah.
You've reached that point in life.
I know, yeah. It's very soothing, Radio 4. And I woke up at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning and this was playing. Then I fell asleep again. Those were the days.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Where the hell have you been?
In a world that continues to change, it's nice to see Riviera Radio and Sophie Ellis-Bextor still doesn't let us down all these years on. Sounds like you've been giving some horrific business reports. So, backed by popular demand, the people of Monaco and beyond have demanded that I return to the airwaves to give them some insightful thoughts about the outlook for the global economy and financial markets.
Well, you've taken your time. You feeling better?
I am feeling better, thank you very much.
Because everyone thought you'd snuffed it, you know.
Thought or hoped, yes. yeah, rumours of my demise have been greatly exaggerated, as they say.
Well, I don't know where to start, really. I mean, maybe you should just take it away. I mean, recession, depression, the greatest recession since the Great Depression. I mean, honestly, it's just everything's falling apart.
Investors, I think, focus on a number, as you say, major elements. The development, of course, of the virus, the deterioration in economic data, the viability of exit strategies, the impact of fiscal and monetary support, and the effect all of this is going to have on corporates. Let's start a little bit on the medical side. Coronavirus, if you look at infection rates, hospitalizations, death rates, appear to have been plateauing in some of the key hotspots, so some positives on the back of that. The debate, in some ways, you feel will move increasingly towards the exit strategies, where there's a range of options, of course, including lockdown until a vaccine that would be at least 12 to 16 months have significant harmful effects on the economy. Ease restrictions gradually, that would get the economy moving, but likely to have higher death rates. The adaptive triggering scenario, this is where you'll see an increase or decrease in restrictions determined by the path of the pandemic. Or immunity scanning is probably the fourth one to watch out for. Let those who've had it go back to work. That, of course, would require huge testing capability. The strategy is likely to be driven, I think, by hospital capacity, testing availability, and the availability of protective equipment. But also we need to consider how these would cope with a second wave if and when that happens, and of course would require global coordination. So lots to think about, at least on the medical side still.
Yeah, and you know it's bad when even Warren Buffett makes a $50 billion loss, don't you?
It's very true. But given his exposure to markets, the falls that we've been seeing, perhaps no surprise. But he still talks about the opportunities that this will create for investors in terms of the valuations that we see on the screens and the potential for an economic recovery. On the economic side, of course, we've seen, as we said, massive deterioration in growth forecasts, miserable first quarter contractions, worse to come, one would suspect, for the second quarter. Unemployment, as we know, has been surging. Concerns around how quickly the rebound in consumer demand will really filter through. If you look at expectations, perhaps a few weeks ago, that we could see a second half recovery, that's very much been pushed out to 2021. If you look at the full year growth expectations, well, before the pandemic, we were talking about growth in the global economy of 3.3%. We now expect a contraction of 2.6%. US growth rate has gone from 1.9% this year to a contraction of 6.4%. Europe from 1% growth to contraction of 5.5%. Those numbers clearly very significant.
Well, Mr. Buffett's sold off his entire airline stock in the US Big Four, and of course airlines around the world are reeling from the effects of this coronavirus pandemic. Is it the end of the Dursley weekend in the Costa del Sol as we know it?
Well, if you listen to Ryanair, they're talking about the idea that the airline industry will not come back to its current levels or pre-pandemic levels till the summer of 2022 at the earliest. They're announcing that they are cutting 3,000 jobs and said they would challenge the 30 billion euros of state aid given to its European competitors to keep them going. We've seen job cuts the likes of British Airways, 12,000, 5,000 at SAS. I think Swiss Air this morning announcing job cuts. Rolls-Royce, of course, the makers of the engines, but also they have a huge maintenance business when it comes to aircraft. Clearly, a huge reduction in demand for that, talking about 8,000 jobs going there. Jobs at Airbus being cut. So the aviation industry being hit incredibly hard. Ryanair saying it carried less than 1% of its normal passenger volume in the first quarter. Michael O'Leary, we know he's been very vocal about the airline industry, critical of some of the weaker European players, as he describes them, Air France, Alitalia, Lufthansa being given huge amounts of state aid or nationalised factors, he said, that would distort the aviation sector for 3 to 5 years. But the reality is they do need that support. The global economy does need that infrastructure. It's inconceivable that we could see those airlines go out of business, because the long-term harm effect of that, of course, would be dramatic.
But airlines too, well, apart from Ryanair, obviously, and EasyJet, but they make a lot of their money on business travel, which you're very familiar with. But companies have realised they don't need to send their people all over the world because they can do it on Zoom.
Well, you could ask yourself whether the world, of course, has been changing as a result of this, and changing in terms of patterns will filter through. If you listen to technology executives, they've said they've seen a surge in adoption rates. They're probably 2 years ahead of where they were previously forecasting before the pandemic. Technology has, of course, been performing particularly well in terms of the rebound that we've seen in markets over the course of the past few weeks. Healthcare has been doing well. Food retailers, those online propositions have been very strong. So yeah, there are going to be winners and losers as a result of this, and we will see a significant change in terms of the way in which businesses operate. There's no doubt about that.
And back to the amounts of money the governments are borrowing to try and get us through this pandemic. I mean, billions and billions and billions and billions. And it's not the borrowing so much, it's the paying back. So are we going to see austerity take two when all this is over?
Well, debt and deficits have shot through the roof. If you look at the numbers, they're quite incredible, way beyond anything you could have imagined previously. It gives you the sheer size and the scale of the disruption that we have been seeing. And this is going to have an effect in terms of generations, in terms of nations' finances. And austerity and higher taxes will come as a result of this, absolutely, depending, of course, how long it lasts for, and depending on the shape of the recovery that we see. If we start to see a V-shaped, well, more of a U-shaped recovery, so a significant downward leg, some plateauing out and perhaps recovery as you look through 2021, depending on the speed of that, will determine how aggressive governments have to be in terms of trying to rein that back in at some point.
Caring capitalism. Go on, hug a hoodie.
Is that what we're talking about?
Well, I mean, I think people have realised the value of having a well-funded public health service, haven't they? So, I mean, that's going to stay, surely.
It really is. And yeah, these are areas that have been under pressure over the course of the past few years. International cooperation, scientific achievement and endeavour is going to be incredibly important. More money for research and development in some of those key areas. So healthcare is a theme that we've liked at Barclays Private Bank for prolonged period of time, and this shows you the changing dynamics will only continue to drive that as a longer term theme.
Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 124.5 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 109. You're going to get just under €1.14 for your British pound this morning. Saw weakness on Friday, as you alluded to, in equity markets, down between 2 and 3%. Continue to expect that at the open this morning. Currently calling the FTSE down 38 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 374 points. CAC in Paris off 186 points.
So you're here all week?
Here all week, here all next week. Not going anywhere, not going anywhere.
Okay, lovely to have you back. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, sir.
Hang Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
The Alpes-Maritimes and the Var region, along with the rest of the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur, has been classified as a green region. The map of France is designed to be an indicator of not only the circulation of the virus, but also the measures to be taken at the end of the lockdown, which is planned for May the 11th. A region classified as green is considered to be the least affected by COVID-19. The circulation of the virus is weak and the hospitals are not overcrowded. Whereas a region classified as red means that there are still too many cases of the virus and the number of patients in intensive care remains high. Those classified orange are in between the two and will switch to either red or green by the 7th of May, which is when the map will be declared definite ahead of the end of the lockdown. The Alpes-Maritimes and the Var had previously been classified orange and changed to green on Saturday the 2nd of May and remaining green on Sunday the 3rd. The map is updated on a daily basis. Details of the measures concerning social life and activities within the framework of the national deconfinement strategy in France presented by the Prime Minister have been published. The chart gives the chances of activities being available on low circulation of the virus or high circulation. For more information, go to rivieradio.mc. No deaths from coronavirus were reported on Sunday, May the 3rd in the Alpes-Maritimes and the Var. The latest figures show that the virus has claimed since February the 28th 197 lives in the Alpes-Maritimes, 205 in the Var and 311 in the rest of the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region. In the Alpes-Maritimes, 200 people are still hospitalised, including 33 in intensive care. And in the Var, the number of hospitalisations stands at 245, of which 30 people are still in intensive care. Meanwhile, Monaco starts its first phase of a progressive end to the lockdown today, with measures in place to allow employees back to work and the reopening of businesses in the principality. There were no new cases of coronavirus reported over the weekend, with the number of people having tested positive remaining at 95. 78 people have recovered from the virus, 2 people remain in hospital, one of which is in intensive care. On a national level, 50,784 patients have been discharged from hospital since the beginning of the epidemic in France. 25,815 people remain in hospital, of which 3,819 are in intensive care. The number of deaths in France from COVID-19 stands at 24,895 since March the 1st. The City Council of Nice is to meet today to discuss measures to continue the support for the health, safety and employment of citizens, and particularly the most vulnerable. On the agenda, the Council will discuss exceptional funds in social action for families hit by the health crisis, along with an exceptional food aid for seniors, the exemption of rent for premises rented by the City of Nice, the creation of an exceptional bonus for those who have remained mobilised during the health crisis, a free childcare service for priority cases, and a proposal that Airbnb rentals be fixed to a minimum of at least 7 days to limit competition with the hotel industry and the spread of the virus. Nice City Council has launched hashtag CineBalcon in collaboration with Amazon Prime Video. Residents in Nice will from this evening be able to discover from their homes a film projected on a giant screen. Until Friday, every evening at 8:05, in a different district of the city, a film will be shown. The location of each screening will be announced on a daily basis on social media. France has appeared to have made a U-turn on the quarantine of travellers. Contrary to a previous announcement concerning the quarantine of travellers, which suggested an imposed isolation period of 2 weeks, France said on Sunday that it would not quarantine travellers arriving from the EU, the Schengen area or Britain due to the coronavirus pandemic. Concerning those French and EU citizens arriving in France from other regions, the government is to make an announcement in the coming days. Finally, France's drug agency has given the green light for blood plasma from cured COVID-19 patients to be used to treat those who are critically ill with the disease, albeit under strict conditions. The idea is to transfer the virus-fighting antibodies from the blood of someone who has recovered from the virus to a newly sick person who does not yet have those antibodies. The method has been used by more than a century to treat the Spanish flu, measles and chickenpox.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Football, a growing number of English Premier League clubs are saying they are open to staging remaining fixtures at neutral venues if the threat of relegation is removed. Clubs have been told that using up to 10 neutral stadiums will be the only way to complete the season, but teams near the bottom of the table feel it would be unfair to play in such different conditions unless the threat of relegation is removed. If there was no relegation, then clubs from the Championship could still be promoted and the Premier League would accept 22 or 23 teams next season. Be all right for Norwich, wouldn't it?
It certainly would be, yes.
As cycling Chris Froome has said, he thinks the Tour de France can work without spectators, but has raised concerns about the organisers' ability to prevent large crowds from attending. This year's tour is now due to start on the 29th of August, having been suspended from its original date to the 27th of June. Froome said in theory the tour can go ahead and it can be televised, but he expressed doubts that the spectators would stay away. The four-time Tour de France champion missed last year's race after suffering career-threatening injuries in a crash, but he's regained fitness and has been training indoors for 6 hours a day. A bit like me, really.
What, training indoors?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of arm training, I can imagine, yeah.
A Formula One, the Hungarian Grand Prix, will be held behind closed doors as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. Organisers say they've experimented with all kinds of ways that fans could be allowed to attend, but realised it wouldn't be possible. The race had been due to be staged on the 2nd of August, but will now be pushed back to a later date as Formula One plans a revised calendar. And in cricket, talks are underway to try and reschedule the West Indies Tour of England. The tour had been due to start next month, but has been postponed because of the coronavirus pandemic. The earliest date the first test could take place is now the 8th of July, and the tourists will be quarantined for 14 days on their arrival in the UK with access to training facilities.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaraz in the VAR, the general situation is weak high pressure, 1,018 millibars over the region. Winds are southeasterly, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat, 1,017 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, the winds are variable, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,018 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Clear skies today, light to moderate easterly winds. Top temperature 22 degrees. Overnight lows 13 degrees on the coast and 12 degrees inland. Tuesday and Wednesday, partially cloudy, highs of 19 to 23 degrees. Finally,
armed police and a helicopter were called when shocked residents saw a tiger prowling through countryside in the UK, but it turned out to be a 20-year-old sculpture made of chicken wire by a local grandmother. Kent police sent an armed response unit to reports of the big cat near Sevenoaks in Kent, but they were left embarrassed when the dangerous beast turned out to simply be a large model made by local artist Juliet Simpson.
I say,